The passage for this morning's sermon comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. If you have your Bibles with you, please go ahead and follow along, or you can follow along with the PowerPoint. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke, we also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is the word of God. Our speaker this morning is Pastor John Huang.
Let's pray once more. Gracious God of amazing glory and grace, Lord, we ask you that you would meet with us, that you would speak to us. Father, be our God and our Savior today. Help us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul led a very difficult life. So much so that in our passage, verse 16, he says, he expressed the expression that his outer man is decaying. If you read, especially Book of Acts and other letters, we see that Paul led a very difficult life because he chose to follow Christ. He did not live for his comfort, security, pleasures in this life, but he followed Christ. He imitated Christ at the great risk of his own life, even. He lived to preach the gospel to the lost. He lived for the good of others. He led a life of self-denying love, a life of voluntary suffering for the sake of others. And because he did this, he says, outwardly speaking, his outer man is like decaying, it's wasting away. So I take his outer man decaying in two ways. One is that there were real physical sufferings in his life. Right, he was beaten. He was poor. Often he had to work hard. He experienced many physical suffering because he chose to follow Christ and serve others with voluntary, self-denying love. Right, so physically he suffered, but also he suffered socially. He was decaying in the eyes of the world. He was a He, I think someplace he uses the word scum of the earth. People looked down on him. People thought he was a loser and a lunatic and a heretic. So socially, his life is wasting away. He was suffering. He was losing out socially, but and also physically, financially. He was losing out and he was suffering. Because he chose to follow Christ and because he chose to pursue a different treasure, a different goal than what the world tells him, told him to pursue. So in the eyes of the world, he was growing old with not much to show for. He was physically suffering and no recognition in the world by the people of this world. He was a loser. So outwardly, his outer man is decaying. But in verse 16, he says, he does not lose heart. He does not lose heart. Why? Because he was Paul. No, that's not the answer, right? Why? Because Paul, he believed the truth of God and he understood the truth of God. He says, even though outwardly, socially, physically, he's wasting away, he's decaying, his inner man, verse 16c, his inner man is being renewed day by day. Inwardly, each day, he has hope. He gets excited. He gets encouraged. He gets strengthened. Even though socially, financially, physically, he's suffering. Why? Why? And he tells us, he says, first of all, he calls all the unbelievable suffering. You know, he went right to the edge of death, right? But he calls that, he says, they are momentary light affliction. He says all those things are momentary light affliction, right? They're momentary because in comparison to eternity, they are momentary. He believed that. Paul believed in eternity. And when he understood that, his life of 40, 60, 70, whatever years, that was momentary, like a vapor. Here one moment, gone the other. Momentary compared to eternity. And he calls it light in comparison to the infinite joy and glory in God. Not only that, these momentary and light afflictions is actually it's the means through which God is producing in Paul an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. For Paul, all the sufferings and persecutions and humiliations and rejection is not meaningless, but it is the very means through which God is creating, producing in Paul eternal weight of glory. Which means that because of these sufferings and persecutions and hardships and endurance, when Paul stands before God on the judgment day, there will be joy and honor, love from God and infinite happiness. There is an actual basis toward which God can point to and Paul can point to and say, Paul, you are good and faithful servant. You persevered, you were faithful, you followed Christ. It became a solid foundation for his eternity. So Paul, when he will get rejected or humiliated and he suffers, for him that is the visible, concrete evidence that God is saving him and God is preparing for him the reward. So it's his life of suffering, his outward wasting away is an investment, the best kind of investment for eternity. Every stroke of persecution that came was a pile of reward for Paul. So Paul was rejoicing, right? Like Jesus says, rejoice when people persecute you and malign you because great is your reward. Because Paul really believed this and he understood. So when people rejected him, he was suffering for the sake of others. He's like, I'm rejoicing. Great is my reward. Great will be my confidence. Great will be the evidence of God's grace and the basis for my joy for eternity. So much so that this weight of glory in God is far beyond all comparison. It was so worth it for Paul. You know, when you get struck, it's so worth it, right? It's, you know, if someone wants to just hit me and pay me, I don't know, $100,000, yes, that's the going rate for me, right? It's so worth it. Come, hit me, right? That was Paul. So worth it. So not only Paul did not lose his heart, but he was inwardly getting rejoiced. You know, he's getting bigger and bigger grin, right? So worth it. Not only that, he says, verse 18, he does not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. He doesn't lose his heart, and his focus, his gaze is fixed on things that are not seen and not on the things that are seen. What are the things that are seen? What is seen is the things of this world, your circumstances, benefits, pleasures, status, approvals of this world. They are things you see right now, but Paul says, I don't look at that. Because just like vapor, you see it, one moment it's going to go away, and another moment. Like a flower, it blossoms one day, a few days later, it withers and it goes away. So even though he sees them, he says they are temporary. They are temporal. He says he doesn't focus on the things that he sees because those things are temporal. They're going to be gone one day so quickly. What are the things that are unseen? Things that are unseen in New Testament often talks about the coming promise of God. They're not here yet, so you can't see them. The return of Christ and the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. We don't see them because they're not here yet. But Paul says, these things are eternal. The things we don't see, the promises of God are real. They are eternal. They are solid. They are better. They are far more glorious and incomparable. So Paul, in this passage, he does two things, right? He says he doesn't lose his heart. He focuses on the promises of God because he understands the promises of God, what God has for those who would believe and follow Christ, that those things are far better. The eternal weight of glory, the glory of God and the joy of his people in that glory is far better. So Paul doesn't lose his esteem, he doesn't lose his passion and commitment, but he has his gaze fixed on the eternal promises of God. So that's the message. Applications. Brothers and sisters in Christ, graduates, those of you who will leave Ithaca, do not lose sight of the reward. Don't forget about the glory. Many of you, God has revealed himself. in God's great mercy and grace, he has revealed. Himself to you, he has revealed his glory to you. He called you to follow Christ and suffer with him. So that he could give you something infinitely better. And many of you have seen this glory and you have experienced this glory. Don't lose sight of this glory. Sorry, this has never happened to me before. It's weird, right? The world will try to steer you away. The world will try to impress you with its own glory and say there's something better. Even as you go to the commencement today, it will try to impress you with the glory of this world. Don't get impressed. Don't get impressed by small things, fleeting things, weak things, lame things, vapor-like, grass-like, temporary things of this world. God has revealed something infinitely better to you. When you get your first job or go on to grad school, don't let those fleeting things impress you. Because that's insulting to God. When people talk about their careers and money and their accomplishments and glories of this world, don't get impressed. Don't envy. Because we are choosing to reject those things, for the things are far better, infinitely better, incomparably better. So, especially days like today, people will try to make you focus on things of this world, right? You're graduating from college or your graduate program. And hype things up. But don't focus on these puny things. Think and focus and prepare for the end of your life and end of human history. Not mere commencement of university. Think of commencement of human history when you will stand before God. Not, I don't know how many people are going to come, thousands of people. Think of billions of people. You're going to stand before God and billions of people, and you will give account for your life. And you need, like Paul, you need to have made right investment, right choices. Where you'll stand before God. May God call you good and faithful servant. That you have considered as small, puny, fleeting things the glories of this world. And you have honored God by because you live for the eternal weight of the glory that is in God in Christ. So remember, forget not, remember the glory that he has already shown you. He has given glimpses of eternal glory. Don't forget that. Remember. Remember the comfort and the sweetness, the presence, his sweet presence, the power, the freedom, the beauty, the love, the goodness, kindness, the glory. Don't lose sight of it. And for the rest of your life, ask for more. We need to experience more. We need to have more. As God is real and powerful and love and gracious, ask for more. Ask and seek and knock. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, ask for the first time. And fight. Lastly, fight, cut off things, do whatever you have to in order to make it to the end. Because he is worth it. He is worth it. So, ultimately, what drives us, what sustains us, what keeps us is not our own spirituality, it's not our own willpower, it's not our own faithfulness, but it is the glory of God. That God faithfully shows himself again and again to his people that he's worth it. That we ought not to live for small things, but the greatest thing. So I pray that you will have a vision of God that's big enough and bright enough and wide enough so that you will never stray, but that you will remain on the narrow path. That you will fight and cut off things and do whatever you have to make it to the end. So let's spend some time in prayer. Let's ask the Lord that he would do this for us.
Service, so all of you who will be here in Ithaca, we won't be having our Sunday morning worship. We're taking 1 week break. The week after that, June 10th, is when we'll resume. The location, though, is to be announced. Okay, we may or may not be meeting in this room on June 10th, that Sunday. So please, if you haven't already, please go ahead and join our KCCE listserv. That's the easiest way to find out about where we're going to be meeting and what time. The time should be the same. The location will be announced. Also, stay tuned for announcements regarding the resumption of Friday Night Fellowship. We will be having FNF during the summer, but we may be beginning in a couple of weeks. I believe that's it. So can we all rise for our closing prayer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would glorify yourself as God of mercy and God of grace. Lord, that you would continue to reveal yourself to us. Father, that you would sustain us, that you would, you who began the good work in us, that you will complete it till the day of Christ. Lord, that you may be exalted and glorified as a real, powerful, loving, amazing God that you are. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.